Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning. Great morning. Welcome to a great day. Great morning. Great evening. Great day. Whatever time zone you're in listening in right now. Appreciate you always tuning in, always joining in. You know, it's always good to know that you're on the other end, you know, listening, waiting, and then receiving, you know, God's word. So it's just, you know, wonderful to have you here again. That was Carrie Job. I am not alone. All right, so we're on the fourth episode of How to Receive from God. And I guess it's getting more and more enlightening. It's getting more and more revealing, and it's helping us already. So we're working with the concept of the cup, all right? The idea of you wanting to receive from God. And then you have this, wow, I'm going to pull, I'm going to get so much from God. But then you went with a cup, all right? Your capacity, all right, to receive, you know, was small like a cup. So you might wonder about how possible. Okay, so we've looked at Genesis 13, you know, 14 and 15, where God told Abraham, guy, look northward, southward, eastward, westward, as far as your eyes can see. Listen, I do not think Abraham could see far with his natural eyes, okay? I think he had to think, he had to picture, he had to maybe even take steps, he had to take a long walk to see well, to see, you know, but God said as far as your eyes can see. That there's power in imagination. All right, we learned a bit of that when we're talking about meditation, guys. There's so much power in imagination. Genesis 11:6 says nothing will be restrained from them which they imagine to do. This works in the positive, it works in the negative. You can shut down, you know, anything just by imagining. You can build anything by imagining. You can make yourself accomplish things, even things that God did not ask you to accomplish. You might wonder, how possible is it? Genesis 11, all right? They were building the Tower of Babel, and God never asked them to do it. It was completely against the will, you know, of God. So it's possible to use that power God gave us, that power of imagination. I remember saying to us during a series of meditation that imagination is the greatest nation on earth. We've got to learn to use it a lot more. Use it well. If God speaks to you, God shows you something, you find things in God's word, you can sit with it and imagine, you know, sit with it and imagine, create graphic pictures from it. I'd explained, you know, under meditation, not for you to be forceful, you know, about the pictures you're trying to create. It's not wishful thinking, all right? Because under meditation, all right, you're thinking, you're speaking, and the words you speak, they create pictures. Every word, if you say jump up, all right, or if you say she jumped or he ran, you see the picture, okay? So under imagination, you now build, you brood on the picture, you form, you build a world with that picture. So if you say, I will lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. See yourself lay hands on the sick, because even when you say it, you will see that flash. That, I'll lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. So stay with the picture. Stay with the picture. Let it build. If from there, just see yourself, maybe even dream, you sleep, you wake up, you're seeing yourself laying hands on a million people. Keep, enjoy the picture. Let it run. Let it roll. All right? So we'll still come back again and do a series, you know, on imagination some more. But that's what we're dealing with. Right, God told Abraham nothing. So I'm going to Genesis again. God told Abraham, as far as your eyes can see. Right, so we said we have 66 books of seeds in the Bible, but we also have what now? I mean, like a dear minister of the gospel called it. He said, you have your, you know, God told Abraham to look northward, southward, eastward, westward. You have north, south, east, and west in your Bible. You have Genesis, Malachi, you know, Matthew, and Revelation. But the point is, look through, look, find yourself, find your bearings, all right? Find your bearings in the Word of God. Look northwards. What do you see as possible? There's health in the Word of God. There's immunity in the Word of God. There's impossibilities becoming possible in God's Word. There's a whole lot in the Word of God. Jump into God's Word as far as your eyes can see. So we looked at Proverbs 23 and the 7th verse. I know we're familiar with Proverbs 23 verse 7, but we're dealing with those things that hinder, you know, our ability, you know, to receive from God. And as we do that already, we're teaching us how, we're learning together how to receive, because we're not just, you know, removing hindrances. As you see, as a light bulb comes on for you, you know, yes, this is where I missed it, and this is where I'm correcting myself. You understand that? All right, so Proverbs 23, 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. That means the person could say, oh, come have lunch. But the person really doesn't want you to have lunch. So the real intent of the person is the one in the heart. So this affects prayer also. So you could say something with your mouth, but inside you, if it doesn't happen this year and it happens next year, it's still not bad. It's still not. So you're not definite anymore. You're not definite anymore. You know, you pray a prayer of agreement with someone, you know, and people appreciate, you know, others agreeing with them in prayer. But one thing we need to keep in mind is the plus of the prayer of agreement is also the minus. What I mean by that is it's a prayer of agreement. So it means when you disagree, you cancel the prayer. All right, so you go to the hospital, you say to someone, let me agree with you where your health is concerned. Then you start praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray this person is healed now. But the person's mind, the person's feeling, this pain is too much, I want to die. There's no agreement. All right, there's no agreement. Or, you know, you agree with someone, okay, I'm getting promotion on my job, and then you get back to work on Monday, and then maybe your boss is saying something funny, and like, maybe I should even resign. Then you cancel the agreement. So prayer of agreement is solid, but the power is in the agreement. So what comes out of your mouth must align with what is in your heart. So does it? Does it? So that's why, like, when we're talking about meditation, I advise that you could take some time to solidify the direction, all right, in your heart before you pray. Sometimes it's better, all right, so that what your mouth speaks is actually from the abundance of your heart. Your heart is already full of the direction. You're not wondering. In Mark 11, when Jesus spoke to the fig tree and it withered, the Bible lets us know they were going into the city. Then he saw the fig tree having no leaves, and then the time of figs had not come. And then he spoke to it, and then he went into the city. By evening, they came out again of the city, and by next morning, they were going back into the city. That's when Jesus said, "Master, the fig tree which you cursed had withered." All right, that means they obviously would have passed by it that evening. And Jesus didn't have to go to the fig tree and say, I spoke to you. Why are you still standing? I spoke to you. No, it was because Jesus was full. His heart was full. So he spoke and he didn't have to look back. So when he began to explain in verse 23, that's why he said, "Whosoever will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea." Watch this. "And will not doubt in his heart." So that's the key. That's what he did. He didn't doubt in his own heart. So Mark 11, 23 says, "And will not doubt in his heart, but believe that the thing which he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says." That really is the key. So the key of you having whatever you say is, do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass. I'll take that again. The key to having whatever you say is, do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass. Oh, 2020, I'm going to get married. Then 3 weeks time, nobody's even coming. All the good guys are saying, I'm not even going to be like, no, you believe that the thing you say will come to pass, right? And yes, I know that in certain instances, it could be tough, right? You believe you receive a baby, then you see your, you know, monthly circle. And then, you know, I understand that. That's why I said, be solidified in your direction. Right, be solidified in your direction. You understand again that there's the heart and the mouth. All right, we having the same spirit of faith according to what is written. I believe, therefore have I spoken. We believe, therefore we speak. All right, that's 2 Corinthians 4:13. You have to solidify it in your heart. Bible tells us concerning Abraham in Romans chapter 4. All right, and I know we mentioned that already, but let's see that again. All right, in Romans chapter 4. From verse 17 of Romans chapter 4, Bible says, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls the things that be not as though they were." All right? So God quickens the dead, meaning God makes alive the dead, or right? Gives life to the dead. And then God calls things that be not as though they were. Please notice that he calls things that be not as though they were, not called things that be as though they were. He doesn't deny what is, but he speaks. God saw darkness in Genesis 1. He didn't say there's no darkness. No, he said, let there be light. All right. So there's no baby, you say baby. All right. There's no job, you say job. There's no money, you say money. So you say what you want. You don't deny what is. All right. You don't say there's no sickness. There's no coronavirus. No, you say I'm immune. All right. You say I have health. You say from the top of my head to the tip of my toes, resurrection power lives inside of me. I'm immune. All right, so you speak the word of God. Are you getting that now? So you focus on the word of God. All right, so 18th verse of the Romans chapter, Romans 4, 18th verse says, "Abraham against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your seed be." Look at verse 19. "And being not weak in faith," all right, "being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead," right, "when he was about 100 years old, neither had the deadness of Sarah's womb." 20 says, "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." You need to, you know, take out time and read Romans 4, all right, for yourself, all right? 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. You need to read this for yourself. Abraham staggered not. That means he wasn't double-minded, all right? Before that, he was double-minded, but he wasn't double-minded, right? You realize when he talked about Eliezer of Damascus being his heir, "God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless?" And then you remember the case, you know, of Ishmael and all of that. So he had shown double-mindedness, and God had told him, "Listen, walk before me, be thou blameless. But God helped his faith, all right? God helped him by changing his name. So God helped his meditation. God helped his imagination. And that's what we're learning. God helped his meditation. God helped his imagination. So he had to now start picturing. And don't forget, God changed his name at 99. And baby came at 100. That means he finally got it. All right? God changed his name at 99. And then, God changed his name at 99. And then he finally got it at 100. Are you getting that now? So, and baby stayed 9 months in the womb. That means within 3 months, he clicked. Within 3 months, he clicked. All right? By the power of imagination, by the power of meditation, the pictures were painted. So Bible says again that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving. So if you realize that, you release your faith, but you seem to shake. Now, I'm not talking about maybe a bit of doubt in your head, but you still know that, no, the faith is in your heart and you believe. But when you know, 1 minute you're here, next minute you're there, 1 minute you're up, like maybe you should drop the prayer project for a while, drop the faith project, go to God's word and spend time meditating. Remember the Kenneth Hagin story I told? All right, how that he spent 3 days, all right, 3 nights more like, all right, read all the healing scriptures, or he read all the healing scriptures 1 hour, meditate 1 hour, came back 1 hour, meditate 1 hour, slept 1 hour, woke up 1 hour, meditated, slept 1 hour, did that throughout the night, did that next night, did that the other night. And then, he said to his wife, he didn't say, Pat, their daughter, should tell the nurse. No, he just wrote, Pat is healed. And when they read the letter, they looked at Pat's body, his daughter. She was healed. You find that story in a small book by Kenneth Hagin called God's Medicine. All right, so you find that there's a place for meditation. So when you realize your prayer is up, down, up, pause. Why? James again, chapter 1. All right, James again, chapter 1 from verse 5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask from God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraidingly. So the character of God is dealt there. We've dealt with this already. But I just need to read this 6 and 7, maybe into 8. But let the person asking ask in faith. All right? Not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea being driven and tossed. 7 says, let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. All right? And we're learning how to receive. So, but I need to pray. They said I should keep praying. They said, yes. I'm teaching you how to pray effectively. When you keep praying and then there's so much doubt showing on, slow down, go to the word. Abraham did not stagger at the promise of God. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And the next verse says he was fully persuaded. Obviously, you might not have arrived at the point of full persuasion. All right, you see other people carry babies, you go into your quiet place, you're sad, you see other people get promoted, you're wondering, God, when I do my own, you see other people enjoy some levels of favor, you're like, why me? You're seeing other people get visas, you're like, what's wrong? And then you maybe it's about protection, maybe you're afraid, you're going to bed at night, there's insecurity, and then you sleep, and then you close your sleep, see, you finally sleep off. Go and solidify the stuff in your heart. Don't, there's this shovel thing, pick the shovel and pour on someone else and say, hope they are hearing this. No, I'm sure we all have something to work on. Yours might not be job or promotion. It might be protection. It might be health. It might be, it might even just be, just going deeper in the things of his face your front. You understand that? Now it could be a help, an encouragement, and a blessing to someone. But not a shovel carrier, all right? Don't dig and say, oh, hope she's hearing. Dig again and say, hope he's hearing. Dig and say, I hope they heard. Let me even send this to them. No, you could send it to them to send this audio to someone so it could be a blessing to the person, but not, to spite anybody of CCC, and all of that. Hope you get the point. All right. So, verse 7 says, let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. Let not that man think he will receive it. When we're learning how to receive, and he says, if you're going to receive, you have to receive in faith. You cannot doubt, you cannot waver. Are you getting that now? You cannot doubt, you cannot waver. So we looked at Mark 11 yesterday. So please note this, right? Let not that man think he'll receive anything from God. And Bible says in Romans 4, Abraham was strong in faith. Abraham did not stagger. All right? Abraham did not waver. What helped him not to waver? He was strong. He was solid. All right. He was persuaded. Fully persuaded. What helps you to do that? God's word. You come to the word. Now, I also understand the place of prayer helping you to be persuaded. This is what I mean. You could pray in tongues so much about something till you click on your inside about it. And you click to a point where you are not moved anymore. Nothing shakes you. You've prayed. You understand what I'm saying? You pray to a point where click. Now, I'm not saying that you now hear click inside you somewhere. But you pray. You know, we say you got a note of victory. You know, sometimes you pray till there's this revelation that just burns in you about the thing. You're immovable. You're solid. All right? So, yes, it happens in prayer. Now, that prayer, all right, is you praying out the plans, the purposes, the thoughts of God about the thing, which I could also encourage you to do. Pray till, or you just know, leave the thing. Then you leave it. Or you pray till it's yours. And then you stick with it like a bulldog. Are you getting me now? You stick with it like a bulldog. So, Mark 11. All right, Mark 11, 24, Jesus said, what things soever you desire. Mark 11, 24. All right, Mark 11, 24. Mark 11, 23 says you speak to the fig tree. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I said when we're closing yesterday, there are four parts here. What things soever you desire. Desire number one. When you pray, pray number two. Some people just say, oh, pray for us, oh, pray for us, pray for us. What? Why? What? And just pray now, pray. What things ever you desire, all right? And this is you learning to pray for yourself in Mark 11, 24, actually. Whatever you desire now, of course, it's basic prayer of faith, so it works. You know, even with someone praying for you, believe you receive and don't let it go. What things so ever you desire, so desire number one. When you pray, pray number two. Believe that you receive, or learning how to receive from God. Believe that you receive. The word receive there means to take. Believe that you receive it. Believe that you have received it. Believe that you have taken it. So whoever believes he or she has taken something, you don't come again tomorrow to ask for it. What you do after you believe you have received is to thank him. All right? So it says, believe you have received. So believe you receive is number three. The fourth point is, then you shall have it. Please note the word shall. All right? It means it will come, but it just might not have come now, but it's going to come. It is certain it will come. All right? Because how you receive, if you remember, all right, there's no distance in the realm of spirit. Anyway, when you pray, your prayer is answered immediately. All right? Now, God might have to walk through people, move through agencies, move through policies to get it across to you. But the day you asked was the day you got it, not the day everything finally shifted. So you believe you have received. So every day, thank you, Lord, because it's mine. Yes, thank you, Lord, it's mine. Hallelujah, glory to God. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. You want to pray and talk about it, go ahead. You want to keep, you know, solidifying your thoughts by meditating, go ahead. But the day you pray, you believe you have received. It is mine now. You want to wake up every day and speak to the mountain and say, mountain, you're gone. I believe I've received. So you're gone. I remind you, you know, you're gone. You're gone. You want to do that, fine. But you're not starting the prayer all over again in your heart. You're not doubting, maybe it's not gone. Let me go. No. You're gone. You're gone. You're gone. You're gone. You're gone. Or you just ignore totally. I believe I see. So, hey. But you will know by the Spirit what to do. So, learn to be sensitive. And praying in tongues helps you on that. All right. So, we're still looking at those things that could, you know, sneakingly, you know, rub us off. All right. Because Ephesians 3:20 again. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or imagine. Is he? Yes. But Bible says he's able to do that, Ephesians 3:20, according to the power that is at work in you. Right now, the Holy Ghost power is in us, but it might not be active in us. So you activate power by engaging. Please understand this. You know, sometimes thinking, hey, but if God is going to do something, God will do it. Well, yes, but well, also no. No. How do you know that? If you go to Mark, so which do we read? Let's pick Psalm 47. So that I want to see something. Psalm 47 from, you know, the 40th and the 41st verse. Psalm 47. All right. Psalm 47. Psalm 47. All right. So 40 and 41. Psalm 47. Sorry, excuse me. Psalm 74. Okay. Psalm 74. Psalm 7, 4, 40, 41. Psalm 74. Yep, 74. 74, right? I think I'm missing something here. Give me a minute. I'll get it out. Psalm 74, not 74. Thank you. Psalm 78. Okay, so Psalm 78 now. Excuse me. Psalm 78, 40 and 41. Psalm 78. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? 41 now says, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Did you get that? They turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. But it's unimaginable. How could someone limit God? But Bible said they did. And if you remember the bunch that was with Moses in the wilderness, they really did. All right, God had great plans for them, but they limited him. They limited him to a point where the entire generation missed out on God's agenda. So it's possible for God to say something. It's possible for God to give us direction or give us a word, but we limit him with doubt. We limit him with unbelief. The Bible said they limited the Holy One of Israel. So let's look at Numbers now. Numbers 13. Numbers 13, right? And I'm sure you're familiar with this. Numbers 13, the first verse of Numbers chapter 13. All right. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, all right, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. So he says, listen, I've given you this land, but send guys out to go check it out. All right. So send people out. So, and suddenly, let's jump straight to verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched out unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up its inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in there are men of great stature. So there's trouble already, guys. God said, I've given you the land. Just send people to check it out. So Moses was telling them, you know, so check it out. Let's know what it looks like. You know, the kind of things there, kind of people there, you know, and, you know, so you find that around them, verse 20 kind of thing. You know, so Moses was telling them what to do. But suddenly, you know, they came back and yes, they gave Moses the accurate description of what he sent them to look for. But you find that any description that does not align with the will and the mind of God is evil reports. I'll say that again. Any description, it could be a doctor's report, it could be a lawyer's statement, it could be one something, whatever it is that does not line up with the will of God is evil report. All right, so mind what you spend too much of your time with. All right, oh, we're fighting an invisible enemy. I mean, it's amazing when I hear those kind of things. And you're like, yeah, but yeah, welcome to our world. We live an invisible life. Fate is invisible that we used to deal with. You know, so hey, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So we already are the ones in the invisible realm. So this invisible thing is already in our realm. So we dominate. Anyway. All right. So, you know, and then they brought up an evil report. All right. Of the land which they searched out. There's trouble. They came to say what they wanted to say. Are you getting this now? So we're going to end right now on the 33rd verse and then we'll pick it up from there tomorrow. Are you being blessed? And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in their sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in our own sight. We're in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we're in their sight. So that's where the trouble is. Right, if they saw us as grasshoppers, but we didn't, then we're fine. We'll be like David and Goliath. No matter what you think of me, I see myself. But the problem is their mindset. Something went wrong in their minds. They limited God and they could not receive inheritance. All right, so we're going to pick it up from here tomorrow. Could there be something, and we've been dealing with that, that is a limiting thought inside your mind? All right, and don't worry, I can manage it, but you're still praying about it. But in your mind, you're like, don't worry, maybe I don't need to have it. All right. Did you get that? So please follow us on all social media platforms. Line Rex and Osia. Have a glorious day. See you tomorrow. So we end again just playing Carry Job. All right, I'm not alone. Bye.
stars.